All right, it's July 11th, 2010. This is episode 3 of the Zenspath podcast. I'm your host, Jeremy Powers.
And I'm Nico McDonald.
And welcome back. It's been a little while. We had a couple of mishaps and stuff go on. We missed out on part of E3. We actually recorded a show covering the Nintendo and Microsoft press conferences and ended up having to scrap it. We still have the show. We may eventually put it out as kind of our lost episode, but we just, as much time has passed before it came out, or since we recorded it, we just had to let it go. But to get back onto the episode we have now, the music you just listened to was the NES version of Kid Icarus World 1. We decided to put that in there in regards to the Kid Icarus game that's coming out for the Nintendo 3DS that was announced. And if you stay after the show, we're going to have the mini-bosses from their album Brass. They did a good cover of it, also from the same game Kid Icarus. So, we'll go ahead and move on, see if we can catch up with what's going on, and go from there. Picking up some of the news from E3, we'll glance over a few things. We'll start off with some Call of Duty news. Activision's announced that, starting with Call of Duty Black Ops, and going forth from 2010 all the way to 2012, all the downloadable content for the Call of Duty series will be Xbox 360 timed exclusives. So, meaning it'll come out there first, and a few weeks to a few months later, PS3 or PC will be getting the DLC afterwards. Interesting plan. I don't know how that's going to work with some stuff, and it's probably going to kind of tick some people off, but what do you think, man?
I think the player base is a little heavier on the Xbox anyway, so, I mean, them, you know, using this is probably going to be bigger on a 360. I don't know. I can't see Sony doing it. It wouldn't have a big effect on it as it would on the Xbox. I mean, a lot more people play it on the Xbox than they do on the PS3, I think. And the PC, I mean, I rarely hear about it on there anyway. So.
Yeah, I've seen some people, but they seem to be kind of not as vocal as, like, the 360 or PS3 people.
Yeah, you know, you never see somebody come home and be like, you know, oh, I can't wait to go play, you know, Call of Duty on the PC. Like,
yeah.
You'd be like, cool, send me a friend request? I don't know.
Yeah, Sony didn't really say much about this once it was announced, because this was at the Microsoft press conference at E3. Sony just kind of sat that one out. I mean, I guess there's not really much they could say as a third-party developer making this announcement. Now, speaking of third-party developers, Metal Gear Solid Rising was also shown. Originally, it was touted as being an Xbox 360 exclusive, and kind of a reverse of fortunes of what's happened recently. It's now going to be coming to the PS3 as well. You know, instead of a lot of the recent games that were PS3 exclusive, like, what's that one, Noir? Cry Noir, something like that?
Yeah.
I know it's something Noir. I'm completely forgetting. Anyways, it was originally a PlayStation 3 exclusive. It's coming out of the 360 as well. Now, I thought the trailer and some of the announcements they made for that game was actually pretty impressive. I mean, what do you think of the cutting system in that thing?
I'm not gonna lie. The cutting system was just based on the Metal Gear series. They're all about precision, about how they do their tactical games. But this game, they went, you know, above and beyond with how precise the whole slashing and cutting system was in the game. It's to a point where I think that they actually spent probably months and months just on probably one little model, just seeing how many ways you can cut it and how precise you can get it. And now they just implemented that into, you know, all the features in the game. Especially, like, the scene that they had where they cut the
watermelon?
The brick, the brick pillars, you know, they cut. He's just running up, like lightning blazing speed, because it's pretty much the baddest ninja in the world. Next to Ryu Hayabusa, who probably would own him in a hand-to-hand combat. Yeah. But he ran up and he cut the three pillars that were holding up this, I guess,
awning.
This awning made out of bricks, and once he cut them, they all came down, like, simultaneously. That's how fast he cut them, which was, you know, how precise it was. It didn't just cut it, and, like, it started crumbling as he was cutting. He cut all three of them, and it was Murder, She Wrote for whoever was under there.
Yeah, it was definitely interesting. They had Hideo Kojima and Shigenobu Matsuyama. What? Don't even look at me like that.
I'm going to choke you. Hideo.
I did it again. Dang it. And I get on to you about that.
He's going to come after you.
Yeah, I know. They came out and demoed it, and they were trying to explain the whole Zandatsu, which is the style, which Zan means cut in Japanese, and Datsu means take, which I'm not really sure how that would really fit, but hey, that's...
I don't see the correlation at all, but I mean...
Yeah, whatever, they're making the game.
It's a Kojima game, dude, so it's going to be like that.
They showed off part of the cutting technology with the watermelon I mentioned a minute ago, where they pretty precise on actually cutting it in half and then slicing it. And then, of course, afterwards, they had the little cheering kids, which watermelons in a Metal Gear trailer has always been a joke. They've always shown that hidden somewhere or some reference. I think it started with Metal Gear Solid 2 when they started shooting a watermelon, showing off how the first-person shooting would work.
Yeah, that was actually pretty cool.
Yeah, that was actually really hilarious. Now, on a complete side note, it was L.A. Noire. That's the name of the game.
Ah, L.A. Noire. L.A. Noire. Now I know what you're talking about. Okay.
Now that I've tried to redeem myself, we'll move on. Microsoft had another announcement. Project Natal, their camera-based motion sensor technology, has been renamed Kinect now. Which is going to be kind of weird. A lot of people want to say Kinect, like C-O, instead of this Kinect, which is K-I-N-E-C-T. Originally, I thought maybe it had something to do with, like, they're trying to keep Kin as an actual name, because they have the Microsoft Kin phones, which they then ceremoniously completely canceled the line a week after they came out. I guess they were under contract for those cell phones, and they just went, all right, done. We've released the phones, we're out, we're going to focus on Windows 7 now.
I've been seeing commercials about the Kin. I guess is that under a new developer now?
No, they put the phones out. They got it released on one company, which I think was Verizon.
Yeah,
and they just completely canceled the entire series. They had bought out the company that made what was that phone? Flips open. I can't remember.
The Sidekick?
Sidekick. Thank you. They bought the company that made the Sidekick, and a lot of people think, and I agree. It was probably like a contractual obligation. They had to release that phone. So they released it and then unceremoniously killed it.
Hey, well, that's Microsoft for you.
Well, I mean, their Windows Phone 7, which is coming out, is basically like a Zoom phone, which looks interesting. I mean, it's going to be tied into Xbox Live. They announced that, so you can actually...
That can only be right, you know.
But they showed that at E3. They're going to have your friends list on there. You can actually...
They had messages?
Send messages and all that stuff. They have some games you can actually play between the PC, the 360, and the phone. Like, you can stop and continue at another point, so you may even be able to get achievements on your phone.
Hmm.
Which, I know a few achievement whores that they're going to have to switch phones now.
Jeremiah.
We talking about Masai Dark?
Yeah.
He didn't have a cell phone. He might actually get one now. You know, he might do it.
He's going to force me to buy a bunch of games now, get a bunch of achievements on.
Yeah, he might. Good guy. But, they went into more detail about it, showing how the camera system's got two 3D depth sensors that use kind of an infrared light to judge depth and movement. It's got an RGB camera for video conferencing. It's got a multi-array mic, so you don't have to wear a headset anymore to talk to people. That's one nice thing that Sony had going with the PlayStation Eye for the people that bought it. It made a really good microphone, so you wouldn't have to fight with a Bluetooth headset or anything. You just talk to it, though I still can't find most people that'll talk on PSN. And it's also got motorized tilt for the Kinect camera. So it will automatically track you as you're moving around. You don't have to sit there and adjust it. You just plug it in and leave it. It does everything itself. They showed some of the updates and things that it could do where you would just have to walk up and wave at the console, and it would actually log you in that way. It would kind of just pop you up from there, wave again, and it brings...
Using that facial recognition.
Right. Wave again, and it will... load you into like a specially made interface where it has, like, you know, Netflix and the Kinect chat, which is their video systems coming out, Facebook, Last.fm, Zoom Marketplace, things like that. But a lot of it's also voice activated, so you can just go Xbox, Netflix, and it'll start pulling up Netflix, and you can tell it to pause or play or however you want to do, which is interesting. The games they showed off were pretty well. They really focused on the family-friendly stuff, which I think a lot of people complained about. They wanted to see how this would interact more with their, you know, their Halos and their Gears of Wars and things like that. They delved a little bit into that with Forza, where they were showing the new Forza, and that was really cool how they did
the
that.
Car, could, yeah, the car viewing scene?
Yeah, you could walk around the car virtually, and you can actually interact with it. That was great, but that's like another year off or more. They hinted at it being available for some parts of Fable 3, but didn't really say how. But a lot of everything else was basically covers of Wii Sports Resort and sports games and things like that from the Wii, which Sony did the same thing. Sony's coming up with another set of their games for the PlayStation Move that's basically trying to be Wii Sports. So I guess they're just, you know, they sold thousands of copies of that game. People want to make it, you know. Another thing they announced was ESPN is going to be an exclusive deal with Xbox Live Gold accounts. where you can actually stream or watch live about 3,500 different on-demand sports events, which is kind of interesting how that's going to function. I'm not a big sports guy, so I wasn't really excited. I could see the potential for some people, because it's got interactive menus where you can, you know, be picking your teams while you're playing it. You can do trivia while you're watching your sports or telling it to switch from one to the other, but I think you pay attention to sports more than I do, so what's your take on this one?
I think it's probably going to be a lot more interesting with the Kinect.
Really?
I mean, just the base use of it on a regular Xbox is probably not going to be that exciting, that, like, tantalizing, like, oh, you know, I have to have this. But, I mean, the features that they have that are directly involved with the Kinect actually kind of bring more of, you know, the use of it out, which is pretty cool. You can just, you know, you sit there, you're watching around, you could be in another room, and you just say, hey, I want to pick this team that I think is going to win. You know, you can answer trivia, you know, from wherever you are in the room. That, I don't know, it just seems like it'd be more useful. Like, it almost was made for the Kinect, almost.
Right.
So.
Well, moving on from there, we'll go ahead and go into the announcement for Gears of War 3 and the live demo they had. The single player stuff was interesting. What really got me was right after the press conference, they started talking about Beast Mode, which is like, it's taking Horde mode, turning it on its head, where you're playing as the monsters now. You're actually playing as the Horde group. And depending on the kills, you build up points where you can play as other stuff, ranging all the way from as low as a ticker, running around blowing everybody up, all the way up to the
Berserker.
The Berserker, where they even said like the visuals will be a little different for that because they're blind, so you're seeing almost with like a sonar with sound.
Yeah, it's pretty much going to be like, I guess the Berserkers are going to be like the tanks that they have in Left 4 Dead, you know, 1 and 2.
Yeah, where you're slamming into stuff. And
so
they showed one of them hitting up one of the humans in a power suit and just tearing the arms and stuff off of it. And
yeah, it's just going to be, you're going to be using a character with blind rage. Like, literal blind rage, you know. She can't see. And it is going to be a she, so don't get all, like, egotistical testosterone with this character. It's always going to be a woman. So, a female, not really a woman.
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah. I would use a ticker. I mean, because I used to play Horde.
One or two good shots and you're going to explode. So it's going to be kind of fun dodging the bullets running at your people, trying to blow yourself up.
See, but that's exactly what you think. I mean, with the five people, the four other people I play Horde with sometimes, I'm just, you know, we don't even really pay attention to Ticker. You'd be like, hey, dude, there's a Ticker behind you. And I turn around and he's already blowing up like at my leg.
Yeah, and you just hop out of the way. So I wonder how that's going to work.
And you got to think, they're going to be computer players. So they're not going to be as strong as, like when we're playing Horde and the Ticker comes up to us, we're like, oh, we'll just let it blow up. It's not going to kill me. You know, you might actually be able to get some kills with the Tickers now.
Maybe on the earlier settings. I'm sure later on it's going to be more difficult. But
yeah, wave.
I can see all kinds of fun achievements coming from this mode, though.
Wave 49.
You know, can get 1,000 kills as a Ticker or something weird like that, you know?
Yeah.
Some of the other games that were announced, going back into Kinect a little bit, Harmonix came out with a bit of a surprise with Dance Central. It's a rhythm dance game that actually tracks your movement as you're doing these moves. Which I'm going to look like an idiot playing this, and I'm really, really hoping the video of that never gets out. But I'm actually interested. I'm probably going to get it to give it a shot and never let anybody see me publicly doing this. But it's they're showing the different dance moves. And there's a couple different dance games that are coming out. They even announced, not through Harmonix, but there's a Michael Jackson dance game coming out, which that's going to be interesting. I'm wondering how that's going to be licensed or how that's even going to be handled. But I think they were talking about it possibly named like Michael Jackson The Experience or something like that. Who knows? I mean, that could be an interesting one. Let's see. One thing they did show was they talked about it being 10 years since the Xbox One's reveal. And then afterwards started showing the new Xbox 360 Model S, which a lot of people were like, oh, it's a slim, but it's a good bit smaller than the current model of the 360. But they surprised everybody by saying it would be available by that weekend, which, as of now, it's been a few weeks since that time. It's been out. A couple friends of mine have already bought it. I've gotten a chance to take a look at it. It's a lot quieter. It's kind of funny. The PlayStation 3 went from being really glossy and then changed to more of a grainier look, kind of like how the current 360 body is. But now the 360 redesign's gone from the kind of grainier look to being incredibly glossy. So it's like they've just switched places.
And, of course, the immaculate Wii has gone from white
to black.
To black.
Well, remember when they first showed it, it was going to be in all kinds of colors. They showed, you know, orange and green. I wanted the green one. I liked that green. It was awesome.
The Wii's body style, it suits a lot of colors. I mean, it suits like it could be one of those things that could be in a lot of colors. Like, they were going to originally do with the slim PS2s. You know, they came out in a bunch of colors, but you really never really saw them, so.
Yeah. They had, I remember, we've got a picture of the PlayStation 2, the original model, when they had the 999,999 release, the 1 million and the 1 million and 1, it was bronze, silver, and gold. And it was those three custom colors with the numbers emblazed on them. It was interesting that they did that. Of course, these were never made public for people to buy.
Yeah, no.
I'm sure somebody probably has them, but who knows? I mean, it's interesting. Well, this new 360 Slim finally has built-in Wi-Fi. That's a nice little add-on there. All the buttons are touch-sensitive now. It's no physical buttons on there. You just swipe your finger over it to open the disc tray or turn the system on. Memory cards are gone. We kind of saw this coming with the update that made everything where you could do USB storage. That makes sense. Why bother with a 256 megabyte or 512 megabyte memory card when you can have a 16 gig? And of course, they also have the quieter fan in there, which keeps the temperature down. They put the GPU and the CPU on the same die. So all of that in one location, right towards the center, which goes up the side. The hard drive's been moved. It's no longer on the outside, but internally. So the fans don't try and blow through the top or through that. It's directly through it. That kind of helps with that a little bit. It is a lot quieter, though. I mean, I had it turn on, and I was actually shocked how quiet it is. But they released it for the same $299 that the current 360s are. They just up and replaced the old ones with it.
I want one.
I almost got one. I ended up buying a different model myself. I mean, I already had a wireless adapter. I've got a 250 gig hard drive. There's not really much difference. The only actual difference, functionality wise, is they have a special port on the new ones for the Kinect camera. So you can plug it directly into it and it has no external power supply required. On mine, with the original 360, I have to plug it into the wall as well as the 360, which is not a big deal for me. I got a power supply and everything right there anyways.
I just want one because I can have all of my systems be black. I mean, it's not like a color thing. I mean, if the PlayStation 3 was white, it wouldn't care, but they just all suit because I got my router's black, my modem's black, my TV is black, my PS3 is black, and my Wii is black. And all I want is my 360 is the only white thing. I mean, it's on a black stainless steel, you know, not black stainless steel, but black polished metal, whatever it is, kind of, it's weird. It's just like everything has like a suited color, and I'm just like, I look at my 360, and it's loud, and it's white. I know.
You're trying to say something because I'm white? What's going on here? I can see where this is going.
There's no way I can make that sound any less racy, but I mean... It's really how it is. So I mean, it is loud.
And, I see how it is. Oh, I see how it is.
Well, you know what? If I could have went and got the Halo 3 edition one, that'd be nice. It'd be different. It wouldn't be.
It'd be a really ugly olive drab with really weird orange.
It's better than just plain Jane white.
You can change the faceplate.
I don't even have. That's the thing.
That's the funny thing. You say that about the PlayStation. They actually just announced there's gonna be a 320 gig PS3 that's all white. So, I mean, what are you going to do then? I mean...
It seems like they're just all going backwards nowadays.
Who knows? I mean, we'll just look at the DS. There's how many colors of those things?
Two? Well, for the DSi.
No, there's like four or five for the DSi now. And how many for the DS Lite? And
I haven't... I'm true to my blue. True to blue, dude.
My DSi, it's black, actually, so...
I had one. Then I gave it to my little sister because she really wanted one. And I got a blue one.
Nice. We'll go ahead and jump from there. That's most of what the 360 was. We'll go. The Nintendo press conference is interesting. They started off the whole thing with showing the new Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword, which is graphically kind of interesting. It's a mix between Twilight Princess and Wind Waker. It's got a realistic physical design for most of the characters, but it's a cel-shaded, almost toon style for the color system and some of the environment. Some people were kind of iffy about it. I thought it was pretty cool. I actually liked it. It's one-to-one motion for the sword fighting now, so you actually can move it around. They even have a couple doors where you're waving your hand in a circle to make the eyeball on the door look around until it gets dizzy and then stabbing it in the eye where you can thrust it forward. It's the first Zelda. It's going to require Wii Motion Plus. You have to have that.
Well, 90% of the new Wii Motion games are going to require that anyway. So
some of them do, some of them don't. I'm glad they're not making every one of them require it. They're kind of going, if they don't really need it, they're not doing it, which is
this,
nice.
But this one would need it. I mean, the precision of the sword movement.
Yeah, it's like Red Steel 2. I was shocked at how fun that one was and how well they did it, especially after the horrible game Red Steel 1 was.
Wow. Oh, I remember when I first got my Wii.
Good proof of concept. That was about it.
I remember when I first got my Wii and I got that game. I was like, oh my god, is this really happening?
I almost bought it. I'm glad I didn't.
We played, it was the only reason I played it so much because I had three other people to play it with me. We actually just fought through the terrible graphics, the lackluster multiplayer, the just non-responsive movement of the character and all your weapons. And you know what? I was just like, whatever. I got friends that we're having fun with. We're playing a terrible game, which I like doing. I like playing terrible games with my friends. Red Steel was definitely one of them.
I went on a kick for a while. I actually was looking for old games, the worst ones I could find, and just playing them for as long as I could stand them and then putting them on the side, just kind of getting rid of them. It was like trying to find a bunch of old bad B-movies and going through them. It's funny and painful at the same time. It's almost worth seeing because you appreciate the better stuff better, a lot more.
I'm trying to think of the worst game. You know what? I want everybody to
Grab by
this.
The Ghoulies. That's one of the worst games I've ever played.
No. I want everybody
Superman
to go...
Superman 64 had that one.
I want everybody to go get Ibuki Warriors.
Oh,
I don't know if you've heard of it or if you've ever played it. Go play this game, and I swear to you, you will regret every living moment of it. It is probably the worst game ever conceived.
It was like an Xbox launch title, an Xbox One.
If it's not that, it's the original Soldier of Fortune.
Oh, wow. That was... Yeah. For you PC people out there, you understand this is
It was like,
terrible.
What kind of game has load time? Like, seriously, I could go, make meals in the load times that this game had.
Now, back in the day, that's basically how that rolled. Some of the other stuff they announced, there's some more things on Skyward Sword, but a lot of it's mostly just the controls. They showed a new Mario Sports Mix, which is volleyball, hockey, dodgeball, and basketball. That's got a 2011 release. They showed off some NBA Jam. The only real kind of party game or casual game they showed at this year's E3, which is a surprise, was the Wii Party. Comes out this holiday, 70 different mini games. That's all I'm going to say. I'm just,
I've already had my rant on this. I don't think I want to go into it again.
Well, we had that in the last episode. Hopefully that'll come out and you can hear it.
Yeah, you'll hear my rant on that.
Well, in the same podcast, which we'll cover again, Just Dance 2.
Yes.
You were all happy about that one. Tell us about that one.
Heck yeah. You'd have to play the first one to kind of get what was going on in the second one.
I admit
they got some new features. They're actually having a collaboration mode, which instead of dancing against, one other person like they had a four-player mode, but you were dancing against each other competitively. Now they have a collaboration mode where you can dance with each other. I'm thinking that you're probably going to have different dance steps that you do. Like, there's going to be times where you do it all together, mm-hmm. and then times where you have certain people doing their own dance steps. I don't know how that's going to work. The dance battles, which is going to be eight players, is going to be teams of four, like it's another team of four.
The just sweat mode, little exercise thing.
Yeah, that's self-explanatory, I guess. Yeah. Just sweat mode.
Remember the old Dance Dance Revolution, or DDR, she used to have
calorie
modes.
They have that, which was technically like an endless mode.
Just dance until you pass out.
Pretty much. So, I think the just sweat mode is going to be like an endless calorie mode combination. You're shooting for a goal, but you're doing it until whenever you want to stop.
Now, that's one thing I'll give Kinect, and actually even PlayStation Move over the Wii, is it's you can't really cheat and stay on the couch. I've got a friend of mine who I won't even mention, but he'll know, who's managed to learn how to play most Wii games sitting on the couch. Like, he'll just lay back and just, like, in bowling, get strike after strike after strike, and just... I was like, wow, you have killed the purpose of the Wii. Technically, it's ingenious. You figured out a way, you found the easiest solution, but, man, that is not what it's meant to do.
I couldn't do it. I tried to sit down and play Tatanaga versus Capcom, and I've been playing the Wii for so long that I actually stand up when I'm playing, and I'm not even doing any motion control. That's the sad thing. I find myself standing up playing like regular games that don't even use the motion control, which is, I don't know. It's a habit.
That's great.
It got me off the couch like it was supposed to do.
Yeah, I mean, we're looking to see how the other ones go. Some of the other games they ran through, which we'll just a couple quick announcements. Golden Sun Dark Dawn is coming for the DS. They announced a new GoldenEye, which they replaced the original Bond that they had in that one with Daniel Craig, which is the current one. I'm iffy on this one. It's going to have online and offline multiplayer, a lot of the stuff referencing the old game. Hopefully it'll be worth something. Who knows? Epic Mickey was shown, and I was actually really impressed with that, where you're kind of using the essence of what the characters are, you know, between paint thinner and actual paint, where you can erase and create objects in real time while you're playing through the levels. It's going to be interesting. Another shocker, Kirby's Epic Yarn. An entire remake of Kirby, but everything looks like it's made of cloth and yarn and buttons, and it sounds weird, but if you watch the video for that, I was shocked at the quality of that thing. They were showing parts where you'd use a piece of string like a whip, and you grab onto a zipper, and you pull the zipper back, and that part of the cloth would fall down. It looked like real cloth dropping, which was nice. Reveal new parts of the level. You could grab a button and then yank the button out, which would pull the string in. And almost like putting your hands on a piece of cloth on a table and scrunching them together, the whole world would just come together like that. So it's an interesting new take on Kirby, and I'm going to see how that goes. I'm hoping it's going to be a little bit longer. Some of the newer Kirby games have been kind of short, so hopefully they can get some time out of it. Dragon Quest IX was shown, which that just came out July 11th.
Yay, another one.
Yeah, I'm... actually, you know, today is July 11th, so that came out today.
There you go.
Forgot
it's
about that.
Rare to see games come out on Sunday.
Usually. Well, Nintendo, it's almost always...
Okay, yeah.
The Wii was launched on a Sunday. The DS was launched. I mean, Nintendo usually launches a lot of their stuff on a Sunday. That's the weird thing about it, which drives me nuts because most stores are open until noon, and I'm sitting there just dying to get some of my games. Metroid Other M comes out August 31st. They showed more about that. I'm really liking what Team Ninja's doing with this. They didn't try and go for an oversexed version of everything. It looks like...
Ugh, dead or alive.
Yeah. But it looked like a really clean graphic style, really good combat controls, a nice take on the 2D but also first-person modes.
Yes, the seamlessness. It's almost like it's happening instantly. Like, there's no crossover, no transition. When you want first-person, bam.
It takes a second or so but to get orientated, but it's not as bad as a lot of people thought it would be. One of the bigger surprises, but also kind of leaked just before it, Retro Studios, who ironically made the Metroid Prime series, which has moved on, Donkey Kong Country Returns. They're actually making redoing the entire series, and it looked beautiful. They really were working the art style, and you're playing as Donkey and Diddy Kong together again. And I think one of my favorite parts was you're playing on a level, and it's kind of at dusk, but all the characters and all the environment is just a black outline against the sunset as you're playing it, and it had a really nice look to it.
And the volcano level where they're jumping over platforms, and there's actually like multiple active volcanoes in the background. I mean the artwork and the graphics that they put into this game, they really went out of their way to make this probably
impressive for a Wii game for sure.
I'm thinking it's gonna be one of my favorite remakes of an old school, you know, Super Nintendo game, you know, next to, you know, Metroid or...
Well, it's not even a remake. They're making a whole new story for it. They're not like recreating. I mean, I don't even know. They didn't show in a lot of the enemies. They showed some of them, so I don't think it's gonna be the same ones that they used to have. Because remember, the original Donkey Kong Country and all that was done by Rare, which is owned by Microsoft now. Donkey Kong and Diddy Kong are owned by Nintendo. But the other characters may still be licensed through Rare, so I don't know how that's going to work.
Yeah, we might. Hopefully we'll see the old guy. That's all I want. I want the old monkey.
Oh, Cranky Kong?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's in there. I mean, I'm sure he'll be there. So, who knows. At this point, they went into their press conference. They're talking about 3D glasses, and of course, that led into the Nintendo 3DS. That was finally announced, shown, demoed, and really surprised people. Basic rundown. You take a DS, look at it. Top screen, make it widescreen, make it 3D, both for depth and projection without glasses. The bottom screen physically is about the same size as the DSi, but it's over double the resolution of what the current one is. It's still got touch screen on the bottom, still got stereo sound. Take the D-pad on the left, bring it down a little bit, put an analog stick there, where they're going to have the D-pad and an analog stick. It's got two camera lenses on the outside to actually be able to take 3D pictures that you can view. You can watch 3D movies on it.
Which, by the way, is a first.
Yeah.
With the 3D pictures.
Yeah, it's going to be a first for that, which is for consumer level stuff. It's also the first consumer level device to let you watch movies in full 3D. Like, you can watch Avatar and some of the other ones on there. It has motion, both the gyroscopic as well as just movement based. I mean, they put a lot into this, but graphically, a lot of people are surprised. I mean, we're talking, basically, this is almost a Wii. It's somewhere literally between a GameCube and a Wii that this thing is pulling off in real time. Their first game they showed and announced for the whole thing was Kid Icarus. People have been dying for that. Even on the trailer they announced, hey, you know, sorry I was so late. It took so long to come out. But Pit, the main character, his character model is almost on par with the Smash Brothers Brawl Pit of how it looks.
And he moves just as fast.
Yeah, they've got a massive area where kind of flying. It's almost like a new version of a shooter where you're playing it in third person. You're flying around these massive levels, dodging all these things, shooting. He'll have land-based areas where he's running around doing the shooting. I was actually really impressed with it. They had a lot of other little games they announced. Just, I'm not even going to try and go into the list because there's so many developers that talked about it, but there's Metal Gear Solid is coming to the 3DS. They showed parts of Metal Gear Solid 3 being run in 3D on the system. You know, they've got, of course, there's Sonic games and things coming out with it.
Yep.
The DJ Hero, Professor Layton is coming out. Kingdom Hearts, Saints Row, Madden, FIFA, Dead or Alive, Ninja Gaiden. There's a Chocobo Racer, Samurai Warriors. There's a Resident Evil coming out for it. Super Street Fighter 4.
Yes.
Looks surprisingly good.
I mean, almost the same.
Yeah, the way the analog stick works is it's kind of a slider like the PSP one was. But a lot of people that were playing it when they talked about it said it had more of a feel to it because it's got more of a curve. Instead of sticking out and being rough, it dips in. So it feels like an actual analog movement.
But just it's also close to, you know, the thing's actually close to the base of the console instead of like...
Right, it has to be a slider. There's no physical space for it. Cause the only console that I've ever seen that actually had a true analog, or handheld that had a true analog stick, was the Neo Geo Pocket Color. And that was pretty thick.
Probably the best analog made.
Yeah, almost. Hands down. I remember Nintendo basically took a lot of the ideas for the Game Boy Advance from that. I wish they had taken that analog stick.
I wish Nintendo 64 would have taken an analog stick.
I'll give you that.
Oh, man. I don't know how I made it through Smash Brothers with that.
Yeah, really. Splinter Cell is coming to it. Assassin's Creed. They showed Ridge Racer, but that one actually looked really bad. Like, they just kind of took the iPhone version and just slammed it on there, which, I don't know,
pretty could much be. Like every other Ridge Racer game.
But, I mean, the 3DS, it's supposed to have, they've said it's going to be out by March of next year, which means there's still a possibility of it having a Christmas release. What'll probably happen, though, is it'll have a Christmas release, but in Japan. I wouldn't mind here. I want that thing. It's compatible with all current DS games. I know we're covering a lot of information really quick, but, I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on for this.
I just want the 3DS and Pokemon Black and White. That's it. That's all I want, and you probably won't even see me on 360. Well, you'll see me on 360, but I'll be at a party playing with the people I play Pokemon with, so that's all I'll be doing.
Sleep mode has returned. If you remember from Nintendogs and a couple of other games that used it, you could go into this mode, close your DS, and it would communicate with other people, but they had to have that same game and have it on, and it didn't really work. This one is built into the hardware. So if your DS is on and it sees another DS, somehow it's going to know which games you have and switch information with each other. It'll also automatically look for Wi-Fi hotspots. So say you go into a Starbucks to get a coffee and your DS is in your pocket, it may look real quick and go, oh, hey, there's a new level available for your game. And it'll go ahead and start the download. So you're going to pop that game back open and next time you start, you're like, oh, well, there's a whole new skate park for, say, Tony Hawk, or here's a whole new track for Ridge Racer, which would probably look just as bad as the rest of the game looks.
Yeah.
Wouldn't take long. Probably just be a circle. I don't know.
Pretty much.
I'm about tired of Ridge Racer. It was fun back in the day. I still have Ridge Racer on the N64 even, but...
They should have stopped before they even got to 6, to be honest with you. It's just like...
I never even bothered. I mean, people... I remember they were freaking out going, oh, Ridge Racer's coming to the 360. I'm like... Oh, it's another Ridge Racer, period? I don't care where it's going, but why?
Let me hold left and push A, and then automatically drift into every turn with no skill used at all.
Now, for other games coming back, Need for Speed, on a complete jump here, Criterion, the people that made Burnout,
yeah,
are now making the new Need for Speed Most Wanted.
They needed that.
8-player online multiplayer, where you can have however you want it set up, even... You can have, you know, four on four, four people being cops, four people being the other cars. You can go all the way to having seven people being cops and one person trying to get away from everybody. How hectic and fun would that be? Like, if you could just randomly pick, almost like a tag mode. You know, whoever catches a car gets to be the next one to do it and keep switching around. But, back to what we're talking about. No price has been announced. They haven't really even gone into a lot of the details. A few things have slipped out since E3. They have said it will be an e-reader on the 3DS. So, when it's doing this Wi-Fi search, it can be downloading your newspaper articles, things like that, for you to read and look through. Which will definitely be interesting. No word on whether it's going to have a chat function. If they had managed to do chat with that thing, but put like maybe a second camera on the inside also, where you could do 3D pictures facing yourself, imagine how great that would be to be talking to someone on this device and seeing each other in 3D. Yeah, it's a small handheld, but if an iPhone is doing it, why wouldn't a 3DS would be awesome?
That would work, but I guess it's a little too late for that.
Well, they could still do it just with traditional. It wouldn't be in 3D, maybe just to kind of cover the latency of moving around, because you have to send two images, have it flicker and all that stuff. So who knows?
I doubt the refresh rate on the 3DS is that high for it to stream like live.
Well, it's gonna be, if you can run movies on that thing, it's gonna be pretty good. I mean, think about it. If you're running 3D, those will probably be already downloaded though. But you're running 3D movies. Yeah, you're talking about
live streaming. You know?
Yeah, you're talking about memory buffering, things like that.
That's not gonna. I mean, I know it's a powerful handheld, but I mean, I don't think it's that powerful. I don't think it's ready for all that.
Yeah, we'll have to find out. We'll go ahead and real quick, we'll move on to the Sony press conference. They were talking about 3D was the pretty much the talk of the show, and the PlayStation Move. The big 3D push for a lot of theirs, Pain, Super Stardust HD, MotorStorm, Pacific Rift, Wipeout HD, as of right now, are already downloadable updates to make them 3D. Which I'll admit, I went into the local Best Buy and one over in Pensacola as well, and tried out the glasses and looked at some of the 3D, and I was surprised. It does look really good. Yeah, the glasses are kind of weird to wear, but I could see how it could really add some stuff to it. I mean, if it's used correctly, it would be absolutely fantastic. Getting an actual feel of depth for something. I'm curious how it's going to be in Gran Turismo 5, which they finally announced is coming out in November. It only took them 5 years to finally get the game out and release date, so who knows.
It's sad for a game so simple. I mean, it's Gran Turismo. It's just like all of the other Gran Turismos. Like, how? What? I want to know what's so new that they did in this new Gran Turismo that it had to take them 5 years to do.
Probably the car models, because they do get pretty detailed.
Yeah, but, I mean, you can't really base an entire 5 years that they wasted on this game just for car models.
I don't know. I mean, I used to be a hardcore Gran Turismo guy. I still have all of them all the way up to 4. And then I started getting into Forza. You know, when Forza hit on the 360 with Forza 2 and now Forza 3, I was like, okay, I'm moving over, and I'm playing that a lot now. So I don't know. I mean, they'll have to keep working on that and see what goes on. They showed in for Killzone 3, which is coming out in February of next year, 2011. They're going to have complete 3D integration with that. They showed some of the single-player campaign, but they're also going to add PlayStation Move to it. Not as a requirement, but as an addition. I'm curious how that's going to be, because PlayStation Move, they showed off a little bit more. You have to have the PlayStation Eye, their camera, up in the middle of the TV. And you're using the wand, it's tracking the little glowing ball at the end of the controller. It's incredibly accurate. I mean, I will give them. It's very accurate for what they're doing, like small movements and things like that, or even large movements. I wish they had changed the design of the controller a little bit. The wand itself, I think it's about $100 to get the wand, the camera, and one game together. That's the bundle. If you want the navigation controller, it's an extra $30 or $40, and that has the D-pad and the analog stick on it. And then if you want to get just the wand by itself, it's $50. So there's a couple games, like the fighting game they kept showing off, requires two PlayStation Move wands for your hands. I don't see how you're going to move around. It's like, all right, you do the fighting, which is pretty cool how it works, but then it's going to move you automatically. You can't like run around and do this thing in real time, or... I'm kind of curious how they're going to deal with motion for both.
Well, maybe it's probably going to be like Wii Boxing almost. You know how you kind of sway to the left and sway to the right? And maybe you could probably lean back and kind of moves them around a little bit.
Well, it tracks like your depth and that with the camera. But I'm talking about like if you're supposed to be going through these environments fighting people and you're hitting this guy and you got to walk over to hit that one. is it going to be like an arcade style where you beat up this guy and then automatically moves you over? I mean, I could see that.
Probably going to be like that Star Wars demo they showed.
Oh, for the Kinect?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was really disappointed in that, but I'll have to see more about that before I go into it. They showed the iPad. That was a game that was coming out. They're putting Kinect integration into that, and that actually looked really good, where you can interact with this animal and do the toys, and it's pretty impressive. I think that'll probably be one of the ones I will get. My children will probably really enjoy playing with that. Some of the other 3D games they talked about that are coming out: MotorStorm Apocalypse, we already mentioned Killzone 3 and Gran Turismo 3. The Sly Collection. They're actually re-releasing all the...
Gran Turismo 5.
What did I say?
3.
Oh.
It was a good game.
I'm thinking of G... Yeah, I'm thinking of the...
It was a good game anyway.
That was fantastic.
Yeah. It wasn't better than 2. Yeah, I said it. That's right. Gran Turismo 2 was the best Gran Turismo ever made.
Yeah, it had that glitch where you couldn't get all the trophies.
Yeah, well, I mean, come on, it was the original PlayStation.
But anyways, the Sly Collection is something Sony seems to be going to. They started off with the God of War Collection, where they took God of War 1 and 2 and they redid them on the PlayStation 3. They took it, they cleaned up the graphics a little bit, upped the frame rate to 60 frames a second, added trophy support, and put it on one Blu-ray. With the Sly Collection, they're taking, I believe it's the 3 Sly games from the PS2, doing the same kind of transition. They're adding 3D to parts of them, which I do believe some of those games already had a little bit of 3D element sometimes you could turn on and off, so they may just be enhancing that. But they've talked about a few other games, Shadow of the Colossus and Ico, maybe getting their own collection. Metal Gear Solid series they're talking about again, collection. Same thing for Grand Theft Auto. Most of these are kind of rumors and speculations. Shadow of the Colossus is the one that I've actually heard more about. I would like to see that. I love playing that one, but it doesn't really play very well on my PS3. I would like to have a whole new remake, trophies included, and just see if they could push the limits of that some more. Now, they showed an interesting game called Sorcery, which is kind of like a Harry Potter-y wizard game. They did a really cool job with the move. That was a nice demo of that, where you know you could change the color of the little ball at the end to change your spells, and then you know different movements and how you had to handle it. It was a nice little show off for that. It's supposed to be out, I think, hopefully sometime this year. They didn't really go too much detail into that. Now, of course, they had the obligatory Tiger Woods. They showed some of that. Played a lot like the Wii Motion Plus version of Tiger Woods, so. Pretty good.
It's pretty not going to be any more different than the Wii.
One of the weird ones they announced was Heroes on the Move. It's got Jack and Daxter, Sly and Bentley, and Ratchet and Clank. It's a move-only based action game. That's kind of a weird combination. I mean, it's one thing. I remember like when Smash Brothers came out, people were wondering why they would do that, but Nintendo owned all of those. It wasn't until later they started adding anything from other companies, you know, with Snake and Sonic. But this is three different companies, or actually, I'm sorry, let's see. Who was it that makes Sly? That's in... What, Insomniac? No, it's the same guys that did Infamous.
Yeah.
Because I remember they took a lot of that motion from that. Yeah, you're looking for my copy down.
Yeah.
Oh, Sucker Punch. Jeez, I'm an idiot. Yeah, Sucker Punch made... was the ones that
use
made
resources.
The Sly games. Yay, it's whatever's around you.
Use resources.
So that's going to be an interesting one. I'm curious how it's going to be.
I think it's going to be terrible.
Really?
To be honest with you. I mean, you can't expect anything good out of taking probably the three biggest gods of platforming in history and putting them all in one game.
They thought it would be a horrible idea to take all the Nintendo characters and put them into a fighting game, and look how freaking amazing that turned out to be.
Well, see, okay, was different. We're talking about putting all six of these characters into one game to where they're doing exactly what they do in all of their separate games.
Well, if you look at it, though, there are differences in how they control. So there could be some fun to that, because Jak and Daxter always had their direct platforming. You've got Sly and Bentley, which were very... you know, climbing ability, trying to do a lot of that stuff for verticality. And Ratchet and Clank were very much about the gadgets and the weapons and stuff. So you combine those three, you could have a good idea. They didn't go into detail. They only had like a quick little trailer. Didn't really show much. So I'm gonna reserve judgment. I'm with you on the fact it's probably going to suck. But you never know. Sometimes they pull this crap out and they surprise you in the end.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, it might be a diamond in the rough. But, hey, you could not compare that game to Smash Brothers. I mean, that game was just clearly just one of the best ideas just yet. I mean, you got to think.
Right.
Super Smash Brothers, see? Come on.
So, yeah, moving on from that interesting little announcement of a game, we'll go ahead and go into another nice surprise. Well, once again, not really a surprise. They brought Kevin Butler out to have a very emotional, almost, talk with everybody. His little speech.
If you don't know who Kevin Butler is, he's in the commercials as the VP or the human resources guy.
VP of everything. They keep changing what his role is.
Yeah.
That was definitely a good move on Sony's part to start making those commercials, but. He came out and he started mocking Microsoft with their little Kinect circus that they had going on, and he said that games really matter. It doesn't matter how you're playing, it's just the games themselves. He said gaming is basically a ridiculously huge TV in a tiny one-bedroom apartment. That got a lot of laughs from a lot of people. But he said, he was talking about, it doesn't matter what system you play on, everyone... serves one master, and that's gaming. So definitely go back, and if you can see it, it's probably on PlayStation. You can download it or check on a couple of websites online. I'll see if I can find it. I'll put it on the site.
You probably found it on YouTube.
Yeah, check it out. Like I said, zenspath.com, where you got this, and I'll put the speech on there. It's just freaking hilarious. It was a genius move on their part. But from there, they went ahead and went into some detail on the PSP, PlayStation Move launch dates. They had Europe. It's getting it September 15th, with North America getting it September 19th, Japan getting it October 21st. The Move controller, I said earlier, is going to be $49.99. Navigation controller is $29.99. And the bundle being $99.99. There will be a PS3 bundle for $399.99 that comes with the One Move, the PSI, and their Sports Champions, which is their Wii Sports copy. There will be about 15 to 20 titles at launch, with up to 40 by holiday for that. About 15 games are going to launch with Kinect as well. I forgot to mention that earlier. But the PlayStation Move games are going to be $39.99 each. Probably not counting stuff like Killzone and all that. Those will probably still be your traditional $60. Kind of weird, there's no navigation controller with any of the bundles. I mean, at least the Wii comes with the nunchuck and things like that that you need. That's going to kind of limit it even more. You're buying this bundle and you have to go out and buy even more stuff to play these games. You don't even have a basic set to work with.
Yeah, I don't know what marketing was thinking with that as far as corporate goes. Them releasing that without the navigation, I mean, you have to buy that separately, and not even attempting to include that in a bundle just wasn't a smart move. But it might shine some light to kind of say that, hey, everything is probably not going to use this. I mean, I'm pretty sure the game Sorcery is going to use the navigation control, and that's going to be probably one of the top games that people are going to want, the Move exclusive games. I don't see why they didn't put that in the bundle.
Now, they did say that you can replace the navigation controller with a DualShock 3, which you have to kind of hold that. It's not going to be like a wand type where you're holding it. You have to kind of hold it and have it sticking out with one hand. That's going to feel kind of weird when you're trying to use that. So, I don't know, maybe they thought that was the reason, but I think they should have just went ahead and pushed that navigation controller out there with it. One of the other things they announced that I'm still not really liking, I've taken a look at it, and I thought about getting it just to see, but the PlayStation Plus, $49.99 for a year, or they'll give you an extra month, so it's 13 months, or it's about $15 for 3 months. Basically, this is supposed to be for people that already buy a lot of content on PlayStation Network. You get a little bit of a discount on some things. You get like a couple free games a month. The kicker for this, after paying this amount, is if you let it lapse, or say you do the $15 and you don't renew after the 3 months, you lose every one of the games. You can't keep any of them. So you're basically paying for renting these games on for the PlayStation Network. The discounts could be interesting, but it's one of those scenarios where you got to pay money to save money. So it really depends on how much you actually play on there. Some of the other add-ons, actually one of them actually made me a little mad. I did the PlayStation 3 software update, and in my options, it has a thing in there for automatic downloads, where it'll automatically, like, I could set the time at like 4 o'clock in the morning to turn on, look, and if any of the games I have updates or the system has an update, it'll go ahead and download it, install it, and have that done and go from there. I have to pay $50 a year to do that, but you've already put the option in my console. I mean, why is that even... I mean, computers do that every day for free. You know, you can tell it to turn on at this time and do it.
And then the Xbox, you don't even have to worry about the download times. I mean, their updates are...
I think the longest one was the new Xbox Experience, which took a couple minutes.
Yeah,
that was a complete change.
Yeah, they changed the entire interface of the Xbox, you know, just...
Yeah, normally, like, I'll get a game new, put it in there, and if there's an update, it's like 10, 15 seconds tops.
Exactly. It's so easy to spot, too. You're sitting there in a party with your friends, and he'll go offline, and then he'll come back online literally like 10 seconds later. Oh, yeah. I had an update.
Yeah, it's almost expected. Just update.
You can't say that about Sony as you're sitting there probably watching a TV show on TV or reading a book or playing your DS or something while you're waiting for one game to update or you know having a system update.
Right. I don't like the fact that they're tying in your updates. I know, yeah, it's supposed to be a convenience factor, but honestly, why in the world would they charge you for something like that? You're basically just telling your PS3, hey, go ahead and automatically turn yourself on at this time and just check. Even if it was just the system updates. If you want to charge us and have us do the games, fine, because you can wait on that if you have to. But the system updates, I've had times where I want to watch a movie and I have to wait for it to update before I can watch a movie, which is ridiculous. I want that taken care of. I don't want to pay money to have to do this because, I don't know, there's a lot of things they kept promising before they still haven't done. There's no cross-game chat. So if you're watching a movie and your friend's playing Killzone, you still can't talk to each other. Which is kind of sad. You still can't change your PSN ID. So once you make it, before it used to not be an issue. People will just, if you want to change it, you make a new one. You may lose some of your game saves, but there wasn't trophies or anything to worry about. But now that people are building up an identity, just like my Xbox Live tag is tied to my achievements, for a fee on 360, I can actually change it. But on the PlayStation, you can't do that whatsoever. You make that tag, and say, for instance, you're in a group, and like for mine is Zen of the Dark. One of my friends wanted to name everybody Dark, and I went ahead and did that, and I ended up keeping it. I didn't care. But some people wanted to change it, so they paid so many points and then went ahead and did it. PlayStation Network, if you do that, you're stuck with it. There's nothing you can do about it. But the weird thing is, that option is available in Japan. They can change their names on the PlayStation Network over there. Which, I never understood that.
It's cool, because I have a Japanese account too, so... I gotta keep up with the Japanese PlayStation Network, because... excuse me, not the PlayStation Network, but the PlayStation Store. Since the PS1 games that they get are amazing.
Yeah, we're way behind on that. Final Fantasy IX came out. Thank you. I bought it the day it came out. It's on my PSP. I'm playing it with a smile on my face.
All right, go try to find the original Grandia on the North American store. Yeah, guess who has that? Japan! And guess who has it on their PS3? I do. You want to know why?
It's in the American store.
No, it is now.
If you want me to go look for it, it's right in there.
See, the only downfall is you'll have to learn how to convert your U.S. money to...
Yen,
so... Since I've been there a couple of times, so I do have actual, like, accounts where I do transfer money to get stuff from Japan, so...
Right.
It's cool, though, you know.
Some of the other stuff for the PlayStation Plus, they tried to take a knock at the 360, saying, like, oh, we're not gonna do anything, like, where gold members on 360 get first dibs on demos or exclusives for some demos. Like, the Crackdown 2 demo was a gold exclusive. Now, mind you, it was also an online-enabled exclusive, which kind of makes sense because you're paying for online, so that's part of the thing. But online play is still free on the PlayStation Network. They didn't change that whatsoever. But they're kind of misleading about the fact that they're not limiting who can get what demos, because they immediately came out and said there's a bunch of demos and stuff that's going to be only available for... that comes with your PlayStation Plus account. So they kind of, in the same paragraph, or when they're during the same speech, they kind of disprove themselves, which is kind of weird. Right. I don't know. They're going to have to do something else to kind of sell me on this, because I pay for Xbox Live because I get a lot of stuff with it. Netflix. Yes, you can do Netflix on the PS3 without having to do that, which is great. It is integrated. Like, they're adding in where I don't have to go to the computer whatsoever. I can search and do everything on the 360 now, or I will be able soon when the update comes through, to find movies, TV shows. I don't ever have to go back to the computer if I don't want to. PS3, yeah. They're still not doing that. So, yeah, that's added on there. You know, the ESPN's already on there. A lot of the servers already being taken care of. You can talk to anyone on there. There's a lot of things. Yes, I'm paying for the Xbox Live Gold, but I'm getting a lot of stuff with it.
Yep, I'm happy to pay for my Xbox Live, to be honest with you.
So, I mean, I would pay for PSN when I feel I'm actually getting something worth it. I don't buy enough games in there because most of my friends are on 360, so we end up playing in there anyways. I don't know. They need to sweeten the pot. Give us some more features. I just hope they don't lock a lot of people out. You know, where cross-game chat, you have to be on that. Well, if you buy it and your friends don't get it, do you have to host it every time? You won't be able to talk with all your friends? Or can they talk to each other in that same group? Or are you the only one hearing? I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. So, off topic, did you know that the Crackdown 2 demo had a mature rated sensor for the live account?
Yeah. Because you're limbing people, literally, and all the stuff you're doing. I mean, it made sense. It's a mature rated game.
It was funny because I had a buddy. He's not in my clan. We have all the same gamer tags, but he was talking to me. He was like, "Hey, did you download the Crackdown beta, the demo?" And I was like, "Yeah." And he was like, "I can't download it." And I was like, "Well, Corey, you're only like 17." And he was like, "Well, what does that have to do with it?" I was like, "Well, you made your account with your birthday on it because, you know, your mom hooked it up, like, you know, years ago when you were, like, you know, younger, when Xbox Live first came out. And it reads your birthday on your account. And if you're under the age of 18, you can't get it." So he flipped
it. Well, mature rated games are listed as being 17 or older at retail.
He must have still been 16 at the time. He told me he was 17, but he probably was still 16.
Well, that's like a birthday month ago.
Birthday was coming up. So, yeah, okay, I guess that does make sense. But he was upset about that.
Now, I wonder, I didn't even think about this. What ever happened with, like, the Halo betas? Technically, Halo is a mature rated game. Was there any restrictions with those?
No, because he was on it. And this was way before the Crackdown 2, so he...
If anybody listens to this and they had an issue with that, or because of age, or they knew anybody that couldn't do it, let us know. Send us an email, podcast@zenspath.com, or you can call and leave a message, 510-ZENCAST, or 510-936-2278. I'd kind of like to know. I mean, post on the forums, you can post stuff on the website as well.
Well, I mean, nothing in the beta had a direct storyline in it, so... There weren't any cursing or anything. Like, in the storyline of Crackdown 2, the guy that's doing the voiceover actually uses some profanity throughout your travels.
That guy's always yelling at people.
In the city, so Pacific City.
Well, I mean, it wouldn't be the first time I've seen where the single-player and multiplayer aspects of something could be rated differently. The last time I saw that on a retail release was, remember Orange Box?
Yes.
That actually on the front says teen to mature, because Portal was still considered teen. But Half-Life 2 and Team Fortress and that were considered mature. So it was one disc with different ratings. Yeah. So,
and think about it. Parents should be worried about some of the crap that the kids say on Halo, more or less what they say on the campaign. I mean, come on.
Yeah, the campaign I've heard in real life normally. But some of the stuff I've heard kids playing Halo that... I
just some of the stuff they say, man. It's just like, wow.
You know,
go play something else.
And I've heard people on PSN that they try and say, "Oh, we don't have cross-game chat because we don't have to listen to stuff like that." I'll give you. Okay, I don't want to hear that either, but I usually just talk to my friends anyway, so, you know, I'd like to be able to do that.
Yeah.
But that pretty much wraps up a lot of stuff for E3. I mean, there's a couple announcements with EA and things like that, but I just wanted to cover the big three. And we'll make a quick run over for some of the more current news. And starting with the next podcast... Actually, I'm sorry, the one afterwards, because... Announcement, in about a week and a half, I will be in California. Me and one of my friends are going, Brent Bass. He's going to be along with the podcast for that episode. Sorry, Nico, you're not flying to California, buddy. I can't afford that. We're going to be live and covering Comic-Con over in sunny San Diego, which will be interesting because I've never flown before. So I'm going to see a coast I've never seen and see it from way in the air.
Finally gonna move out of this godforsaken city for a little while, right?
Yeah, well, if the plane crashes, Nico, you have my blessing to continue on the podcast.
Yeah, let me tell you. as I continually rob you for everything.
Yeah. We already joked earlier, if something happened and I had a heart attack, you'd be like, "Oh, telling my wife something happened," while just filling your pocket with games.
Yeah, he was drinking a 5-hour power shot.
Oh, it's the Crackdown 2 one.
With a Crackdown 2 label on it, and you're just the name of the game and the effects of this this drink, you're just like, "Man, no."
You're waiting for my heart to burst or something to happen.
I don't know.
That would have been interesting. But on to some other news. Blizzard makes a huge mistake.
Ooh.
They came out and announced that all of the users on their forums for the company, that's for World of Warcraft, for StarCraft, yeah, any of them,
all that,
they have to use their full real names publicly. Some people were arguing, saying this is an absolutely wonderful idea. They need to do this because, you know, it's people kind of hiding behind their fake names or personas and this anonymity that they become buttholes. They can say whatever they want, do whatever they want. Some people, honestly, want that anonymity to live their lives as they want, where they're, you know, say if it's a woman playing it and they've got an ex-husband or a, you know, boyfriend or something that someone's trying to find them. Well, now they can get more information about them, or kind of, if they don't want to be known as a girl. I've known people that play.
Man, that was an oddly specific analogy.
Well, this got brought up to this. Well, I was reading through the Blizzard forums. This got brought up a lot, that these scenarios happen. And I've known people that have been in situations like that where they want that anonymity because they don't want people knowing what they're doing. What was I just going off on? I completely lost when you said that.
It doesn't matter, dude. Pretty much we're substituting BlizzCon for BlizzFail on this entire situation. This is, well, BlizzFail 2010.
Oh, the other stuff was there's some people that didn't want to be known that they play these games. Like, a couple people were in the military because they thought they'd be ridiculed by their other people, or some jobs. I've seen bosses actually... Well, don't give me that look. Some jobs will actually look at you and go, well, they play games, they're probably lazy. And I have seen bosses that do that. My current jobs, they don't care. That's great. They know I play games. It's kind of hard to hide what I do.
Well, you got lucky. You're in a lucky situation.
Well, yeah. The
way I see it, man, I mean, we're talking about the highest selling, biggest multi-man online RPG game ever known to man.
It's the elephant in the room.
Exactly. It's like, how could you even ridicule somebody about playing this? Because
some people do. I mean, they consider it a time waster. I mean, they it all comes down to just how they believe. But Blizzard ended up backing down. They said they saw what people wanted, and they changed the rules on this. Now, a lot of people think this may have been brought about because Korea's passing laws where they have to use their proper identification on all their online games and stuff like that. And Korea, along with China and a lot of other places, WoW is huge there. And they don't want to lose those markets, especially for Korea. I'm sorry, China was a big for WoW. Korea was freaking massive on StarCraft. I mean, WoW. It's ridiculous.
So all you cheaters out there, to get your accounts power leveled, you need to thank the people in China and Korea, because they are the ones doing it. So
getting less than minimum wage to run your character around.
Exactly.
For
just
time.
So you could think you look cool. Well,
then
exactly.
They rob you blind.
Yeah. That's cool, because we could spot the power level here, because I'm an avid WoW player.
Come in with an epic mount, all these weapons, and they don't know how to use it.
Exactly. You get in a raid, and you're just like, okay, well, why isn't this dude, I mean, come on, his ability procs like 30 seconds ago, why isn't he using it?
You're screaming, heal me, and they're using level 1 heals, because they haven't realized they have to set the new stuff, you know?
Yeah, well, it's cool.
Well, going from Blizzard snafu, we'll go ahead and move on to a completely different subject. We're going to make a quick run into movies. Avatar. Well, I'm sorry, you can't call it Avatar because the other Blueskin movie came out. The Last Airbender, based off the animated series Avatar, The Last Airbender, has come out. And that has gotten some interesting reviews. I've had friends that seen it. I like the series. I really do. And he said, if you like the series, yeah, it's not good, but you will get some enjoyment out of it. And they are talking about a sequel, so hopefully they'll fix some of this. But yeah, it got like literally a 7 out of 100 at Rotten Tomatoes and a few other places. People panned the crap out of it.
The movie was bad. I wouldn't.
Did you guys see it?
Yeah, the movie was terrible.
I have not seen it yet. I'm hoping to see it.
The fight scenes that you see in the previews.
I heard the bending was awesome.
Yes. No. I can't even give M. Night Shyamalan his props. Shyamalan. How do you say it?
Shyamalan Ding Dong. I don't know.
I can't even give him his props for this. I got to give the graphic designers that were doing this their props. I mean, the bending was amazing. The 30 seconds that you get to see of it.
Oh,
when
really?
You're not listening to everybody in the movie
talk. Monotone.
I'm seriously, 96% dialogue, and the rest of it, pretty much all the action scenes you see in the previews are...
I hope they spread it out a little bit more for the future ones, because they tried to fit an entire season, which I went back and watched all three seasons of Avatar: The Last Airbender. there are a lot of episodes they can kind of trim out and different things like that for the sake of story, but they tried to cram all of it in like 103 minutes. It wasn't even 2 hours long.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the amount of detail they could have put in that movie. They could have made that thing a 3-hour epic and put a lot more in there and put some time into it. The kid they had play as Aang, from what I've seen, absolutely amazing. He's an actual black belt kid they found in Texas, but apparently none of them can act like crap. Yeah, they can't talk their way at all. I mean,
you could tell that kid did all his own stunts.
Yeah.
So
it should be interesting on that. But moving on from that to the Avengers movie, Edward Norton, who played the Incredible Hulk in the recent remake of the series, I really liked his portrayal of Bruce Banner, but he's out. He is no longer the Incredible Hulk. I guess there's been some issues where he didn't want to kind of work with them on doing these cameos or working as an ensemble. He wanted to be the more of the star of it. So they ended up just cutting him out completely. So there's going to be someone else playing the Incredible Hulk, which they've mentioned before on some items. If they had to get rid of him, they may just not even have Banner show up. They may just have him stay as the Hulk, which, not sure how that would work, but I mean, who knows?
Especially with the comics, I mean.
Well, even in the old Avengers, he never really changed back to Banner that much in the old Avengers comics. He always stayed as the Hulk, so who knows?
I guess that makes sense. I mean, why even?
I don't know. I kind of would like to have the interaction of Banner having to change, or if he's trying to use that or some way to control it. I thought it would be a nice bit to the story. So, who knows? But going from movies to bad TV decisions, Sony had a bit of a snafu in the PlayStation Network recently.
Ouch.
Yeah, the first episode of a TV mature series called Queensblade, kind of an odd one here, they put it on the free TV section. They posted it up on the PlayStation Network, the first season of this. Put it on the free one. Anyone could download it. So for a few days, anybody, yep, kids included.
Because it was on the recommended list.
Well, it's not even recommended, it's just on the free one. If they went to the free TV shows, it was there.
I thought it was on the recommended.
Issue with this, though, is a lot of this episode, especially towards the end, has full nudity and all kinds of fun stuff. And this is going to be a weird description, but the main villain has breasts that shoot acid, that one of the heroines gets almost naked and then into a little bit of a suit of armor, grabs the girl, holds her against her until her breasts fill with acid and explode. Yeah, I just said that and I'm still confused. But once this was brought to Sony's attention, they immediately just yanked the entire show, the first episode, right off of there. But they had their own people like recommending it. I guess no one noticed that, hey, this is kind of not really something you should be giving out for free for anyone to watch. You know, normally the mature rated stuff they have on there, be it movies, TV shows, whatever, it's maybe trailers or things like that, and they kind of edit some of the stuff out. But this is a full blown, here it is, and it's just, wow.
I haven't seen it yet, so I'm not saying I'm going to go out and try to find it, but I mean, at the same time, I could put a mental picture in my head about it, because it's simple. It's a chick with, obviously it's an anime, she has huge breasts, and they shoot acid.
That's still just really, really weird.
I mean, but at the same time, you gotta expect that from animes nowadays, you know?
No, you don't have to expect it from anything.
Yeah, I mean, they're running out of ideas, dude. I mean, I'm sick of seeing Inuyasha and Bleach and Naruto. I'm sick of seeing all that. They need something new, something fresh, and they tried, but they failed miserably. Yeah, but it was the fact that they tried.
Hey, they're still being original. They brought back all of Dragon Ball Z, and they just changed the name of it, but nothing else changed. Wait, never mind.
Yeah. They're drowning out Dragon Ball. I mean, at least the games are decent.
Yeah, I've had fun with them, but Kinect, or Microsoft's come out saying that Kinect is going to be playable at Macy's. Yeah, I'm kind of wondering why also. I mean, yeah, they want to get this out to the masses, but a lot of people shopping at Macy's probably aren't going to really either have a 360 or wonder what in the world it's doing.
You're either old or bored when you go to Macy's. It makes no sense. Who exactly, what gamer is going to walk through Macy's like, oh, well, except the ones that are going to know the Kinect are there, but.
Well, even just where a Macy's is, you're talking about like New York and places like that. I mean, they're supposed to be pretty good.
They do have
pretty good stores there.
They do have 4-H for those Macy's in New York.
Right. So, I mean, it could go in that direction, but that was just kind of a quick blurb. Dragon Age 2 has been announced, but they're going to be kind of pulling a card from Mass Effect where your character has to be either a male or female human character of a particular name so that they can kind of build the story around that character, kind of build up the lore and everything where they can make it kind of asexual in the reference or just have multiple recorded lines for male or female. It's looking really good, though. I'm looking forward to that one. I was a big fan of the first Dragon Age.
I didn't play the first one, so I can't really give a criticism on it or whatnot.
I'll let you borrow it. It's incredibly long.
That's what I'm hearing.
It's incredibly long, very in depth, and by the time they were releasing the expansions for it, we're still wondering why, because given busy lives, I still hadn't finished it yet. I was like, wow, this is already getting an expansion?
This is kind of sad, but the main reason I kind of strayed away from not getting it is because of the camera angle situation, how it's not controllable on the 360. They say it's controllable on the PC. You can control your camera angle on it, but they said the camera angle is kind of weird.
I didn't have a problem with that.
Well, I figured that much, but I got a lot of negative feedback about it, and it was just like...
You can still do some stuff. I mean, I don't know who was telling you that, but I never had a problem with that. Moving on from the announcement of that, we've got some new downloadable stuff coming for Red Dead Redemption over the next couple of months. Most of these are basic little things. They're going to have what's called the Legends and Killers packs, which will have a couple new maps, new characters, same thing. Liars and Cheaters packs, you have multiplayer card games, things like that added on. Free Roam pack is adding more animals and more stuff to wander around in. The big one that I love is the Undead Nightmare pack, which each of these packs are going to be about $10 anyways, but this is going to add ghost towns and zombies with a whole new single-player storyline for this in there. So we're talking about taking Old West Scenario and the Undead. That is great. I love me some zombies.
Yeah.
The Western stuff's going to be interesting because, you know, they added zombies to Crackdown. You can hit them with cars and all that stuff. You got guns and all this stuff. But in the West, dude, it's just you running through the desert with the undead trailing behind you.
or lazily listing behind you.
Well, yeah, but
it depends on if they make the the regular traditional zombies where it's kind of slow, dull, kind of zoned
the
out
Romero style. The time.
Or they might go with the hybrid Resident Evil 5 zombies that can dodge stuff and like run full speed at you and like jump off of buildings and
that's
stuff.
That's more known as like the 28 Days Later or the Infected is what they're usually called.
Yeah, they're not really zombies; they're just humans with.
I don't know. I like the fact they're doing that because Rockstar. I wish they had done this with Grand Theft Auto 4. I liked the expansions they did for it, where they made this massive city, and instead of taking all the new time to build a new city and redo it like they had to do with their old ones for PS2...
put a new story on an old city.
Right, and it worked great. I wanted so bad to have a zombie outbreak in that game, because all the people they had running around, I mean, trying to drive around and survive with a massive zombie outbreak as an immigrant, I mean, it would have been hilarious.
Man, I don't even think I could see that being possible.
They basically do it in Crackdown.
Well, it's different. Those are the freaks, though. I mean,
yeah,
they kind of warn you about the freaks and a couple of in between moments in from the first and second one. You gotta kind of be on,
yeah,
on the kind of the not the message boards, but the stories that they post about them.
Well, we'll go from that. We'll go to some Sony news. Sony's finally come out and said something about Insomniac Studios going multi-platform, where they're Ratchet and Clank, things like that, are going to stay on a Sony platform, but some of their new titles are going to be Xbox 360 exclusive. Sony, much to their credit, they're not bitter about it. They're actually pretty happy about it, just being happy that they're getting to kind of expand and do what they want. More people are going to get to experience their games, which I'll give them. Not the response I expected. I mean, much props for that, not being bitter or angry about it.
Yeah, speaking of being bitter, we need to talk about Activision.
Oh, yes. Good timing on that one. Microsoft announced that they made about $1.2 billion in Xbox Live subscriptions last year. That's annual subscription fees as well as for gold accounts as well as digital content combined. And what you just said in regards to the bitterness, Activision CEO Bobby Kotick wants a cut of that money. That man wants a cut of everything. He was wanting a cut like all used games, even though... And look, here's how it works. Whenever the game developers, the producers stuff, they make the game... They sell it to different businesses, Toys R Us, things like that, whoever. And they pay them for the game. They get 100,000 copies of that game. They pay the developer for that 100,000 copies of the game. They've made the money on it already. That's why a lot of times when they sell, they've shipped this many copies of the game as their sales numbers. That's how many they've sold to the companies. Now, it's up to the company at that point to sell it to the public, where they're on the line for making money back on this. That's how they are able to have like different sales on it where they can cut the price down for a weekend or however they want to do it, because they're not worried about paying the company originally again. They've already paid for that. So, but Kotick, so once you buy the game and then someone trades it back in or sells it to someone else or gives it to someone else, Kodak wants a cut of that. You know, Ford doesn't come back, or I'm sorry, we'll use Munich as an example. Volkswagen didn't come back and demand I pay them money when I bought my Beetle used. You know, I bought a used car, and I didn't have to pay Volkswagen for it. Someone already paid for that, and they got their money off of it. But as he put it, he claims that they are driving a lot of the subscription interest and certainly hours of gameplay. You know, mostly referencing the Call of Duty series, things like that. If that was the case and they think they deserve that, I know a lot of people that don't actually play Call of Duty. A lot of them that do, I'll give them that, but there's people that play, you know, Battlefield Bad Company, or God, how many hours is Rock Band built up? Harmonix should be getting a huge cut. Because how many songs, millions of songs, do they sell on there constantly?
There are some people out there, some avid Rock Band people out there that just, that's all they play.
Yeah, well, we got a friend of ours that me and you both know that hundreds upon hundreds, he has an entire hard drive, just a hard drive, just for his Rock Band music.
But you know what? The way I see it, that he's not in the right for even trying to make this accusation to try to get some extra money, just because he thinks that Call of Duty, specifically Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, increased their sales of, you know, Xbox sold and games traded in to get Call of Duty and the Xbox Gold Live memberships. Just, okay, yeah, you made a good game. Okay, a lot of people play it, but that doesn't mean you should be compensated for it just because the live subscriptions went up, or, you know, more Xbox got sold, or people are trading in games just for that game.
Well, I mean, they were, it's funny he's saying stuff like this, but then they were involved in the whole turnaround, which they're being sued by the old Infinity Ward employees, because they basically tore down the people that made this game for them. And now they're wanting a cut of it when he didn't even do the work.
Yeah, I mean, how are you gonna push Infinity Ward off of the you know, the Call of Duty games, and all of a sudden,
think about it this way. How about this? Bobby Kotick runs Activision. The people in Infinity Ward worked for him to make this game make all the money. Well, he's expecting Xbox Live, which is the service,
to pay Activision
for something that they made that's being run through that. I mean, that analogy probably didn't work too well. But anyways, yeah. It doesn't really make much sense that they're wanting to do that. It stinks of greed. I mean, Bobby Kotick's already said before, he doesn't care what people think of him. He makes these comments where he wants Call of Duty to have a... He actually is still trying to have a monthly fee for Call of Duty to be able to play it.
I guarantee you, if there was a monthly fee on Call of Duty,
there's some people out there that would pay it.
Yeah, sadly, there's some people... 40% of their fan base would drop. I guarantee it.
I quit playing Call of Duty. I bought Modern Warfare 2. I quit playing it when they started doing the first expansion. They wanted $15 for, like, 3 maps. I was like, all right. And I haven't been back since. I was like, forget it. I moved on to Battlefield, and I've been playing that.
And then there were maps that they were from 4. Like, a couple of them were from 4. And you're just like, well, why am I paying money for maps that I, you know, I'd rather go...
Well, I don't mind if... Like, look at Halo. A lot of their maps were remakes, and I bought those, because they did a really good job remaking them, but they didn't charge like that huge of an amount. They dropped it down a little bit.
Yeah, I have all of... There's only 2 games that I bought all of the maps for, and that's Halo 3 and Gears of War 2. And I refuse to get the Call of Duty maps.
Where does that stop, anyways? Like, all right, PlayStation or Sony, they make the PlayStation 3. That's a console that I'm sure probably saw a sales boost also from Modern Warfare 2. Do they start going to Sony because, hey, they weren't charging for online play, but people were buying your console for this game? We want a cut of your console.
I don't know why they're directly targeting Xbox. I mean,
well, because they made $1.2 billion, and because they're making money off of that, they want money from it. They believe they deserve money off of that.
Put it this way, he's not going to get the money. It's not going to happen. I mean, they're going to go back and forth, try to go through these negotiations, but he's not going to get it. And he's going to get slandered for it, for even trying to attempt to...
Which is funny, because at E3, before this, they made the announcement that all the Call of Duty DLC for the next couple of years... It's going to be timed exclusive to the 360.
And now you're asking them for money.
I'm sure some money probably passed hands on that, or they just realize that's where the large base of their gamers is. I mean, seriously, that's like trying to direct someone to this store and then trying to extort the owners.
Exactly. You think, can Xbox kind of just cut the exclusiveness? Be like, hey, you know what?
I'm sure there's some clause in the contract they can always find a way of. It's Microsoft. Yeah. They get more lawyers than people on Earth, almost.
Pretty much. And they're going to be like, you know what? Well, since it's like this, if you're going to go ahead and try to, you know, bash us like this over some money for a game that you guys... That Activision didn't even specifically make. They had help. I mean, right.
Infinity Ward made the game. They, not even them. They were the publisher, not the developer.
So it's just like, get over it, Activision. I mean, you still got Tony Hawk. God.
Well, we'll move on to some other oddball news here. Nintendo and Sony may be getting high-speed cell service, like 3G service, for future handhelds. So who knows, the PSP2, if they ever announce that, or the 3DS, could actually have wireless multiplayer or a capability of downloading beyond even just the Wi-Fi system.
It's actually like a service that you can pretty much get anywhere. But then again, it's going to be just like a phone. There's going to be some spots where it's not so hot.
Well, I mean, they could make up for some of that with Wi-Fi also if need be, but not everywhere. I mean, that's just going to happen. But I'm curious how that's going to affect like what the monthly charge would be, if they're going to have that, or is it going to be... Like, Nintendo actually talked for a while of doing something like the Kindle, where they have their WhisperNet, where you buy the device, and the license for its connection is already paid for through the device when you buy it. And it's not... It's fairly fast still. It's almost anywhere the way they do it, and you just get content that way. There's no connectivity. There wouldn't be, like, multiplayer between handhelds. But, you know, it could be anywhere in doing the WhisperNet or whatever to update your news stuff or download that map, depending on how big the downloads are. So, I don't know. I mean, in Japan, it's not new. They, even all the way back in the Game Boy Color, they had adapters where you could plug into cell phone networks there and play games online or have other connections. So, if it happens, it'll probably be a Japan main thing. I don't see it coming to the U.S.
I still think Japan has Gundams underground. Getting ready for a nuclear holocaust.
They built a giant one. You've seen that thing? It's huge. Life-size Gundam.
I actually saw that on...
they've done that like 3 times now.
I saw that on Adult Swim.
Are they like practicing to build the real one? It's like, hey, we've... Really big model. We're going to walk this around now.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Last two subjects. One is funny. One of them makes me smile and cry at the same time. We'll go with the funny first. Satoru Iwata talked about a Nintendo theme park they had at an investors meeting. He was joking around talking about how there's a lot of rumors and speculations and people say they should do it, or they should make their own theme park based around Nintendo. I mean, I could imagine that, waiting to go in line at this big roller coaster and you're going up the big set of stairs and they can make it look like a giant Donkey Kong level. I mean, all kinds of weird stuff.
Seeing people in Mario costumes running around. You know,
genetically alter animals to look like Pokemon in a weird petting zoo.
Oh, God.
All kinds of yellow spray-painted rats everywhere.
Pretty much. Don't pet that. That thing's electric. Like, all right. Well.
Not electric, but it'll bite you. It might have rabies. Who knows?
Can I feed it nuts and seeds? Like, no.
But he kind of laughed about it, saying that, you know, Nintendo had jokingly thought about it and said it would kind of end up having to copy other parks, and they wanted to do something a little more original. But just, I had never even thought of the idea of a Nintendo-themed park. I mean, Disney does it. They get away with it. So why can't Nintendo? Nintendo makes almost more money than Disney in some manners. I mean, a lot of parts of the world, Mario is better well-known now than, you know, Mickey Mouse.
I don't know. I don't know if he'd be worth the money. And besides, Disney was once run by Nazis. Yes, I say that. I say that with an iron fist.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But you know what?
Not Disney, even commenting on that one.
Man. I'm actually mad that Disney even bought out Marvel. That's what I'm kind of upset about. But you know what?
Well, they own Capcom too, so who knows?
Marvel vs. Capcom 3 has already been announced. It's already gameplay out, so I'm already happy. I'm not exactly ecstatic about the fact that they're not going to have as many characters, which we haven't really figured out yet.
Yeah, but...
But as far as Nintendo...
You know Mickey will be in there, and he'll be kicking everyone's butt.
Pretty much, and he'll be rocking his paintbrush around, or he'll just, like... He'll just stop everything and turn it all black and white, and everybody be confused and disordered. Like, what...
That'd be kind of a cool hidden character, actually.
You'd be like, whoa, what is going on? Where's all...
Great joke.
Where are all my polygons? And then he'll just uppercut you, and you'll just die instantly, and never come back.
But on to the final subject, and... Part of it makes me smile, part of it makes me cry. Transformers War for Cybertron versus Cybertron Adventures. Transformers War for Cybertron, fantastic game. Came out 360 and PS3. I've been playing it religiously. I am incredibly happy with it. I love the story mode. I love the multiplayer.
He's being rash.
I'm not being rash.
He's trying to say that's the greatest game ever known to man.
Not greatest game ever known to man, but for a Transformers game, this is a milestone in your fandom of what you love.
I don't think I've seen him on any other game on Xbox other than that since it came out.
That's a good Bomberman.
No, I must have been I must have been offline during that time.
Well, the cool thing was, or was a little weird when you, if you pre-ordered the game from a couple different places, you had different characters you would get. Say, Best Buy, you got Jazz. Other places, you got Shockwave and the Tank. And those things were going like crazy on eBay. We're talking about over $100 a piece to buy these. And then a few days after these massive sales went through, they announced that the first downloadable content pack, maybe like 10, 15 bucks, we don't know, is going to come with all three of those characters already included, plus like 9 new maps and a bunch of other stuff. Boy, there are some people kicking themselves. They paid $100 for a piece of paper they didn't even need. They could have saved that money for something else.
They'll probably justify it by saying, oh, well, I had it first, and this is that nest. But like, no, dude, you still paid $100 for this character that other people are going to pay $15 for.
Yeah, and we already know. I mean, sadly, this does taint a little bit of it. It's made with that, through Activision. They're the publisher. Which makes me wonder if they're one of the publishers of this game and Hasbro makes a bunch of money off the toy line that's coming out that I started to buy. Are they going to demand they get money off of that? Anyways. That's me being bitter, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, just like Activision.
Yeah.
Or more or less, you know what? I can't even speak for the entire company. More or less just a president.
Bobby Kotick.
Yeah, it's more or less just him. He just needs to go get a life outside of Activision. Like, he should just resign and quit.
Well, he's trying to get a life, but he's trying to charge other people to get it from him. But all the downloadable characters are already on the disc. I mean, they're already included. I mean, when you unlock the game, if you had none of these characters whatsoever, all of their design artwork is already in the game. When you unlock all the sketchwork and all that stuff, Jazz is there, Shockwave is there, they're all there. So they knew about these guys beforehand. To put them in the disc, they were already ready to go. So, yeah, you're going to be buying an unlock code, basically, which I absolutely hate doing that. I really do. I'll probably end up getting it anyways because hopefully the maps aren't already on the disc. Escalation mode has been fun because it's horde mode, but you really do have to work together with people because you get points for every kill you get, depending on how you kill them, all that stuff. And you have to use that to buy more energon or new weapons or unlock new parts of the map to kind of expand it, which makes it harder as you go but gives you better weapons, so it's a trade-off.
Yeah, so it's good to not have a scrub on your team.
Yeah, that's another one of those times that I'm glad I'm playing Xbox Live because I have headsets to talk to people. I don't see how they can do that on the PlayStation Network unless you've all got headsets. Which hopefully, I mean, I'll probably end up trying it eventually, but I don't know. That's just me being weird again. But those new maps are coming out. Fantastic game. Now, turn around for that for the Wii version. Cybertron Adventures. Why?
Just listening to the name, you're just like...
No, I don't even care about that. Cybertron Adventures, fine. It's not a war anymore, it's an adventure, whatever. The story mode ties in. It's actually kind of parts that happened in between other chapters or things that add on to it. It expands the story. But why on God Green Earth would you make a Transformers game and you can't transform?
Are you just really stuck in one mode?
Until it decides at one point that you need to change from one to another, like a driving level, you'll finally transform. Or a flying level, you'll finally transform. But you can't walk around and hit a button and change. Are you kidding me? And don't tell me it's a limitation of the Wii. That's a bunch of crap.
Pretty much. I mean, because...
Because they've had games... Freaking... Remember Robotech on the PS2 and the Xbox? You could change back and forth in these little environments between the jet, the robot, and the half-jet thing with missiles flying everywhere and stuff. I'm sorry, if you could do that many years ago, you can freaking make a robot turn into a space truck. I mean...
Pretty much.
That's... Just, come on.
Who knows? I mean, like they say, it's probably, you know, more geared towards kids. Just a little easier, a little more streamlined because that's, you know, the type of crowds that they, you know, attract more or less.
Well, think about it this way. Right now, while we're recording this, my 9-year-old son... is already 4 levels in on Cybertron, on the War for Cybertron, on his first playthrough. Yeah, he's on easy. He's 9 years old. He's already a quarter way through the game. Right now, in the other room while we're recording this.
Yeah, I'm 22 and I haven't even put it in my Xbox.
I'm 30, I feel old now. Dang it.
Well, I'll be 23 next week.
Yeah, I'll be 31 this year. So.
Oh, well. Wow.
Christmas
wow.
Day, I don't
wow,
care.
Wow. Go charge somebody for it then. God. Yeah, go charge your mom. Be like, Mom, you know what? All these years, you know, I feel like... No, she'll end up charging you. be like, well, I gave birth to you. And
she's brought that up.
I was like, everything you're doing, I think I should get a cut of that or something.
Anyways, yeah,
that's parents.
It's a good little catch-up episode. Next time you hear from us, like I said, we'll be posting some stuff on the website live from California, covering the stuff at E3, over at Comic-Con, where they've already, a couple of announcements, they're going to have some announcements about the Avengers movie, maybe even showing some new stuff about that.
Maybe getting us a
sequel to Spore is going to be shown.
Ooh, Spore? Yeah, that game's awesome.
They're at Comic-Con, they're going to have announcements about that. Once again, with my Transformers love, I'm going to be raiding every one of the stores. There's going to be a collector's edition blaster, a remake of the original one.
Yeah.
Yes, I'll be buying that one.
I'm starting a petition for a sequel to Castle Crashers, possibly the greatest game ever known to man.
It's coming to PlayStation Network with some add-ons. It's supposed to for like the last year and a half now.
No, just a whole new one.
Well, I haven't heard anything else about their Game 3. I remember seeing the video of it where it's takes place on like a theater stage. And you're kind of playing through these different roles. It looked freaking hilarious to play. Good co-op. I mean, they're really good at that. It just dropped off the face of the earth. It's not even part of the Summer of Arcade this year. I want that game.
Oh, Summer Arcade. Guys got to look out for...
I guess we are once again lying and going to more subjects here. Let's just keep on going.
Pretty much. We might as well, dude.
We talk a lot.
It's been this long. Might as well just keep going.
Sit down, kids. We're going for a ride.
They got a couple of choice titles that they're bringing out for the Xbox Live Arcade. A couple of my favorite are Limbo, which is a completely black and white game. A lot of dark tones, a lot of shading going on. It's a platformer, but it looks amazing, and the gameplay looks amazing. Haven't had a chance to play it. I'm actually going to go buy it tonight. But just looking at the videos for it, it just looks like something that you will get addicted to. I mean, a lot of the levels, like, crumbling around you, you have to kind of use quick reflexes to... Oh, snap, there's something falling towards me. You know, I got to move.
Well, very dark. Like, the way they show, like, spiders and stuff like that, it's a very, very cryptic design. There's a lot of games coming out right now that deal with light and shadow. There's one coming out. I can't remember the name off the top of my head, but it's like you see a lit environment and you are a shadow playing through it. So you have to use...
Echinochrome? Echinochrome?
No, not Echochrome. That's more of a weird puzzle game.
Yeah.
But this one, you're... Like, if there's a stick sitting there in front of this building or whatever and it's throwing a shadow on the wall, you're a shadow that's actually using the shadow of that stick as a place you can run on or jump, and it looked really interesting.
It's just starting to get a little more in-depth. They got a new Lara Croft, a little Tomb Raider coming out.
Yeah, it's a co-op game. It's not third-person. It's kind of like an above-view, isometric view, which looks interesting. I'm hopeful for that. It actually looks fun.
They get a remake new of Hydro Thunder.
Not a
yes.
remake. It's a whole not, new
well,
one.
Not a remake, but, you know, they're bringing it back.
You seem kind of down on Hydro Thunder. You're not a big fan of it.
You know what? I played it a couple times. Like, you go to Dave and Buster's, and you'll see, and you'll be like, oh, okay, cool. And you'll play, and you'll be like, oh, all right, well.
I was
on a boat racing around, shooting rockets, doing, like, 360 backflip somersaults.
I have it on the N64. I had it on the Dreamcast. I played it in the arcade. I love me some Hydro Thunder.
You know what? I was more of a Wave Race fan.
Wave Race, but I don't know. I liked some of the racing games Midway had come out with, but Hydro Thunder I thought was a nice new game.
Rush not being one of them.
Rush 2049 was fantastic.
Not the original Rush.
Rush 2049.
San Francisco?
Yeah, that was good for back in the day.
Tried the arcades, but when it came out to the 64, dude, that game was terrible.
Yeah, I liked it. I played Cruise in USA. But we're talking about, hey, Rush 2049. You got a car, it has wings. Boom. You win.
There you go. Pretty much
instant
a Transformer.
Win. No, it's just a glider. It's a car with wings. I mean, that's just great.
That's all you needed.
What was the shooter that's coming out? It's like a...
Oh,
Combat. Combat, thank you.
Monday Night Combat. That's going to be what they're trying to call the... little brother or sister to Team Fortress.
Oh, okay.
It's the game mechanics and the
team-based multiplayer shooter.
Yeah, the whole graphics. Yeah, they're gonna have different. It's more of a quirky, funny game. It's more of to be hilarious than to be serious. They have got a couple of classes. You can be assault, sniper, healer, which I think it's called it's called a healer. You have the assassin, you have the tankers, the
what's the fifth game that's coming out?
That, I was still trying to figure out the fifth one. The fifth game
that's coming out. Head because they have a deal going. If you buy three or four of the games, you get 800 Microsoft points back. If you buy all five of them, you get 1,200 points back. Which, depending on the cost of them, kind of, if you're iffy about how some of them are going to play. Because I remember two of them were kind of unknown, the Monday Night Combat and the other one, the Shadow one.
Yeah, the Limbo.
Limbo, thank you. And we kind of covered the cost of those. And the other ones were ones that... Oh, wait. Oh, I remember now. Castlevania.
Harmony of Dissonance. That game looks amazing.
Well, it's a Game Boy Advance game.
Definitely going to get it.
I played it on GBA. It was a fantastic game. But the way they do this, it's co-op. So you can play, I think, 4 or 5 people at a time. But they've taken the map. If you remember the Game Boy Advance ones, it was set up in a grid. Kind of the Metroidvania style. Super Metroid started that. But imagine taking that map and having the entire thing, like you can zoom out and show all of it at the same time. And you kind of zoom in and out and see your characters as you're doing it. So they took the map, laid it out, and played it that way, all in HD. So you can all be in different parts of the levels, you know, looking for different items or unlocking doors for each other and things. And, you know, it's a really original take. And I will definitely, if I could only get one of them, as much as of Hydro Thunder, I think Castlevania's going to win out for me.
Yeah, I think I'm going to get... Nah, I might get it. Yeah, you know, I'm just going to suck it up and get all 5. Because I know people are going to play Hydro Thunder and, you know, the whole... Not co-op, but the whole multiplayer. It'd be nice to...
The only one I'm even iffy about is the shooter one, because I think that one's going to depend. If you've got friends that buy it, great, because it's going to be kind of a co-op thing. I'm not a big fan of just playing multiplayer with people I don't know. I just prefer having friends around. That's the only one, and I'll probably go ahead and try it. Because that's what happened with 1943. I bought that on there.
On PC? Or...
No, on...
Oh, yeah, the full download that they have?
Yeah. Okay. I bought that, but a lot of my friends didn't. So I ended up not being able to play with them, and it was like, yeah, if they had had it, I probably would have had more fun. But I'll take the chance. I mean, I'm always willing to try out some new stuff, so who knows. But I think that's about wraps up the show. We've been going for a little while now.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Now, remember... Check us out on the website. It's www.zenspath.com. And also you can email us at podcast@zenspath.com, as well as you can call us on our Google voicemail and leave us a message at 510-ZENCAST. That's 510-936-2278. Now, check out our forums. We've got those at zenspath.com/forums. Or just on our actual main site when we post the podcast, you can go ahead and leave us some comments there. All right, that's about it for now. This has been the Zenspath Podcast. I'm Jeremy Powers.
And I'm Nico McDonald.
And we'll go ahead and leave you off with the mini bosses playing Kid Icarus.
And remember, you can't go into the tall grass without a Pokemon.
Word.